Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 through 26. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Here we have God himself speaking through Jeremiah to these people. Then also reading from the third chapter, the eighth chapter, the third verse through the seventh. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual sliding back, by a backsliding? They hold for fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. What a hopeless situation this would be if God did not have something further for them than they themselves have chosen. I'd like to read from the 31st chapter, a few verses, 31 through 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's further words to that promise, but let's pray that we will understand them for both the Jews and ourselves, for Israel and the church, praying that what God has promised here, he will even do today in the land of Israel and to the house of Judah. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, through him who is the new and living way. Father, we read here what Israel did with the way given to them when they came out of Egypt, the way that was good, the way of giving them thy holy law, that of which Paul could state later, the law is just and holy and good. But he knew himself a sinner before it. And here we read of those who were sinners in thy sight, but did not know it. And Father, only when they would be awakened, only when they would have thy law written on their hearts, first of all to condemn them, then to have it as a schoolmaster to bring them to thyself and to Christ in repentance, in faith. We pray, Father, that what is here promised may even in our time be fulfilled, as we think also of Paul speaking of the time when again thou wouldst gather Israel. And Father, as we can read in the history of the church, how many believe that in these last days that thy Spirit would again be poured out to call in many from both Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, that we might rightly understand that word, that we might be taught by the Spirit, that he might lead into all truth. Father, we know there is much difference of opinion, much division in the church concerning the last days. But we know, Father, that thou alone both knows what will take place and also will do what is promised, what is foretold, what is given in thy holy word. And we pray, Father, that we might be made to submit to it. We might be able to learn from it. We pray also that we might see thy hand and other blessings, the temporal blessings needed for those in sickness, those, Father, in older age, those in suffering, the homeless, the hungry, those in war-torn lands, those in sorrow. We pray for each and every one of them. Thou knowest all of them and their needs, and we pray that their needs might be met through Christ Jesus, thy Son, the great physician, the one who is the bread of life. We ask it and give thanks in his name. Amen. As we look again at these words of Jeremiah, we can follow this as history. History that took place 2,600 years ago. We can see what was promised and what was in some ways fulfilled in the years following. Some of it a number of years later, 70 years later after Israel went into captivity. That 70 years of desolation would come upon Judah and Jerusalem, and then God would again take a remnant back, teaching them through Ezra, Nehemiah. Again later, on the day of Pentecost, some would be gathered in, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 later, described further in the book of Acts, and later from both Jew and Gentile, as Paul could write to both in his letter to the church at Rome. But yet, that nation, for the most part, is in unbelief, particularly concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one as Paul could write to the Hebrews, to the Hebrew Christians, and say that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The Lord Jesus was with the Father already here in this time of Jeremiah, 600 years before he was born of the Virgin Mary. And as Micah would write in his prophecy, that he whose goings forth of old, have been of old, will be born in Bethlehem. Micah writing that 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born, about 100 years before Jeremiah here prophesied, that Micah would write that. And we must see both Christ, as Paul writes, yesterday, today, and forever. And we must learn all of it. Only God himself knows the end from the beginning. He alone knows the things that, as Isaiah could say, his ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and our ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. So are his ways and his thoughts than ours. God's way is always higher. But at the same time, he shows it to us. And as the Lord Jesus said, praying to the Father, he thanked the Father that he was the Lord of heaven and earth, and he had hid these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them unto babes. Reveals them to those who become his children, and become as little children to become as children. Even as the Lord Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. These here were far from that. They were not at all as children. And as we've seen in the previous lessons, what they said of Jeremiah and what they said of themselves. And we can read that again. Verse 27, therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Even though God said truth was perished, is cut off from their mouth, they did not believe it. They, as we read last week, where they said, smite Jeremiah on the mouth, where they said that the law will not go from the prophet or from the priest, that they would continue in it. But as we read here, God said, obey my voice, I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. God gave them that particularly when he took them out of Egypt. Verse 25, we read, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up and sending them. First of all, Moses. And then there were others that prophesied at that time. One time, there were some that were prophesying, and Joshua was rather jealous of Moses, and he wanted Moses to forbid them. But Moses said, would to God that all men were prophets. And they were there, prophesying. When some of the children of Israel were sent into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, some came back and told the rest good things, only two of them. The other 10 all had a bad report. But two of them spoke the mind of the Lord, spoke to them in faith. Though the people were strong in Canaan, they could say that God would give them the land. But again and again and again, even at that time, God had to say, these 10 times have you sinned. Yes. And from then on, there were many more times added. Even as we read here, he sent his servants daily, every day, rising up early and sending them. Through all the time, there were prophets. There were prophets, particularly to the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are the descendants of David as kings. And those are the ones Jeremiah was here speaking to at Jerusalem. There were also the prophets that went to the other 10 tribes. Speaking, there was Elijah and other prophets that were mainly to those what were called the northern tribes that had by this time already been carried away by the king of Assyria. Judah should have learned. Judah should have known, but they didn't. They knew what happened to their, we might say, their brothers, the other 10 tribes. They were taken out of the land, and others were brought back and called later the Samaritans, the mixed tribe. But God had a promise, and God has a promise today. And we want to see both, and unless we do see both, we really won't see either one. If we don't see the sin as God spoke of it here to these people, first of all saying, obey my voice, then, but they hearkened not, declaring it was from the day that God took them out of Egypt, from the very beginning, unto this day, from the beginning to the end, all through those years, God had given them prophets, he gave them judges, he gave them kings, but they did not hearken. They did not incline their ear. I think it'd be safe to say that there were some amongst them who would know the right way, even as there still were some who knew the right way in the time when the Lord Jesus was here on earth. There was one man, a lawyer. He heard others tempting Christ, and perceiving that the Lord Jesus had answered them well, he asked him, what is the first commandment of all? And the Lord Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hearken, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto, namely, this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. They had learned that from Moses. And all through the years, there were some who knew it. And when this scribe had answered the Lord Jesus, he said, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, and listen to this, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Then Jesus saw that he answered discreetly and said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. When this man said to the Lord Jesus, what is the first commandment? The first commandment was the same as what Moses said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and they were to love him with all of their being. And he said, as the Lord Jesus gave those two commandments, he said, this is more than whole burnt offering and sacrifice. Remember, as we read last week from this 7th chapter, verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offering or sacrifices. But this one thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Israel was often mistaken in understanding that, and the church is often mistaken today with what we might call law and faith, or law and grace. But it is God who is speaking here and saying, I didn't tell you to bring burnt offerings and sacrifices. I told you to obey. And obeying is first. If we obeyed, there wouldn't be no need for the burnt offering. There would be no need for the sacrifice. We have to say it carefully, but we also have to realize that if we did not sin, if we obeyed God today, if all mankind had obeyed God through all of the ages from the time of Adam, there would have been no need of the Lord Jesus coming down to earth. We know that the gospel is the great and glorious message. It is to the glory of God's grace, but we must see the law rightly. And we must see what a sad situation it is when God said, obey my voice. And then he says, but you didn't. You hearken not. And this is another mistake that's often made. We say, well, God told us, but, and we did. We didn't. We didn't. We didn't. Israel didn't. We didn't either. No one did. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. These people should have learned that God's law was right, and then that they had disobeyed, and then they would have to come for the sacrifice. They'd have to look for another way. That which is called, in the New Testament, the new and living way. And part of that new and living way is what we read from Jeremiah further, where he promised at a little later date. Still, before they were carried away captive, still when judgment was hanging over their head, when some had been carried away captive, some had been killed, and the rest would soon suffer the same fate. About 2 years later, Jerusalem would fall. But at this time, as we read, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, in the time of warning, in the time when Judah was becoming desolate, when full judgment was nigh at hand, God was still giving this wonderful promise. The days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, on the one hand, many would just say, well, the new covenant will be when Christ comes, and the new covenant age will be after the cross. And that is true. But remember, the new covenant was there already for Abraham. Abraham was described by Christ as, Abraham saw my day and was glad. When Abel offered a sacrifice, he did it by faith, knowing he needed it. And David the same way. Blessed is the man to whom God imputeth not iniquity. They knew the new covenant blessing. And sadly, many after Christ came, in what we might call the new covenant age, do not know the new covenant blessing. Christ has come, but Israel doesn't know it. Christ has come, but many in the church don't realize it as they need to realize it, from the right perspective, from the right place. And the right place is lost. Lost. The Lord Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We can, in the gospel age, knowing as it were the gospel historically, knowing it back and forth. And last week I read of that preacher who trusted in his own self-righteousness, no different than Israel here at the time of Jeremiah, no different than Israel at the time when Christ was on earth, no different than Israel later as Paul described them. It's the natural man's way to sin and to be proud in it. And then probably still say, we believe in Christ. Why? Have you believed in Christ because you have sinned so terribly before God that you deserve to be cursed by God? You deserved it from the day of your birth. We speak lies as soon as we be born. We might say, well, that describes the wicked, but we are the wicked ones. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And only was there hope when God says, I will write my laws on their hearts. Writing his holy law as he did with Paul. And Paul said, I had not known sin except the law and said, thou shalt not covet. How many of us are coveting today? Much of our trouble in the government is our covetous ways, both the government and the people. Wicked, covetous. Paul said, I had not known sin except the law and said, thou shalt not covet. And when he knew it, he could say wonderfully, yes, wonderfully in confession to the glory of God, O wretched man that I am. Present time he was saying it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he could say with it, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We may believe Jeremiah knew that. Daniel knew that. Others knew it. And Israel would only know it when God would write his law on their hearts in every way needed, that God may be glorified, that Christ might be recognized as the needed one.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.